The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program, it's our final show of Season 7. We'll be discussing some fun facts about life that you may not have been aware of, as well as who is Joanne Holly Baird outside of the gardening world. Our guest is author Heather Holm will be with us, and we've got some thank yous to dish out. So join us.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joanne Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joanne Holly Radio Show.
And welcome to another edition of the Gardening with Joanne Holly Radio Show. Happy you've taken time out of your day to join us and be part of the program for a little bit. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. It's a fun episode. It's our last episode of Season 7. We're going to have some fun with it, but we want to let you know that you can always be part of the program by calling in on our toll-free coast-to-coast hotline at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. That phone line will be open through our off-season. Our off-season is till March, the first weekend in March we'll be returning. You can also email us at any time at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Well, Holly, it's like the last day of school. Nothing really productive is going to get done. We do have some educational programming here at the bottom of the hour with our guest,
Heather
Holm.
That's like the opposite of the last day of school. You don't get education on
Well, we will on this show.
Okay.
So there's fun facts. I thought this would be a good topic to cover. Some fun facts that you may not be, or just of life that you may not be aware of. So I'll go with this. We'll start with this one, Holly. In the United States of America, out of the 50 states, there are four states and their capitals both begin with the same letter. Do you know what four they are? And this is a good trivia one for you if you got people over or whenever you
Alaska
want.
Alaska is one.
Alaska, the capital of Alaska.
Oh, it's Juneau. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Try again. It's already starting off. We did not rehearse this, and that's why I wanted to see if you knew this.
Okay.
Do you need a clue?
I need a clue.
World's biggest race.
Texas? No. I don't know where. Charlotte? No.
Come on. Midwest. World's largest race.
World's largest race. Milwaukee?
Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, Indiana.
There you go.
Oh, Indianapolis.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, man, this is. We may not get through many of these here in this segment.
Okay, what's another one then?
Well, you come on.
I got to guess more?
Yeah, there's three more to guess. Yeah. Island.
Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Honolulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two more. One of the first states, or in the area of the first states.
It's not Connecticut, because that's Hartford. I don't know what the capital of Rhode Island is.
Somebody's screaming it right now at the radio.
Not Boston.
Boston's not a city. Or Boston, not a state. Yeah.
Massachusetts.
Right.
Virginia, I think the capital's like...
Magic Mile, NASCAR, Concrete Track.
Oh, Delaware? No.
Yes.
Delaware.
Dover.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, boy. All right. One more.
I don't know. You just say it.
Oklahoma.
That's like cheating.
Okay. That's not cheating at
all.
Yes,
it is.
There you go. There's your four. That's your trivia there. So,
didn't talk about this bourbon one.
What?
The first one.
Oh, we'll talk about it. Yeah. So, how long does it take to make bourbon? Well, This is another area where scotch and bourbon are different. Now, Holly and I are not drinkers, but I find this fascinating, that to consider the drink straight bourbon, it needs to be in a barrel for at least 2 years. And most distilleries believe that bourbon should be kept in a barrel for 6 to 12 years. Scotch, however, can age in a barrel for up to 15 to 30 years. And I know tequila takes like 7 years from the plant in the ground to the harvest. So with any of these, even if you're not a drinker, you don't believe drinking is morally right, just the fascination of the investment into creating this. It's not just, oh, we plant some tomatoes in May and we harvest them in August and we've got, 32 quarts of ketchup. This is a multi-million dollar lengthy investment.
Is that the agave plant?
The agave, yeah. Yeah, 7 years from the time it's planted to the time, and it's got to meet certain criteria. Here's one. Skittles all have the same taste. Now, before you start screaming and getting angry, explain it, Holly.
Okay, so the candies have the same taste, but each individual color is a different scent. So it's basically like taste bud.
Your smell and your taste are very close, aligned with each other. And there are other products in which it's a scratch, and then you drink the product, and it's supposed to taste like what you're smelling. Some people think that actually works. Other people say it doesn't. But in the instance of the Skittles, that's what it is. It's the scent that is added to it. All the basic material of the Skittle is the same. It's just the added scent, and then your body, it tricks your taste buds because you're smelling it as you're eating it. And there you go. The average strawberry has 200 seeds on it.
That's a lot of seeds.
There you go.
The TV series Batman. So right. This is the
66 to 68. ABC had it. And just a side note, Holly, in 60, whenever ABC picked it up, it just bombed in the pre audience reviews. They put,
like the pilot?
No, they send it, or they get a group of study, whatever you call that. They bring people in a room and go, what do you think of it? It absolutely bombed. The problem was ABC already bought the rights to it and had to broadcast it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put it on TV at all.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
there were 378 holies. So like holy Batman.
Holy whatever. Batman, whatever. Yeah.
And the original series is about 3 per half an hour. And there's 120 episodes. So it is 3 per half hour about.
And then when the show got, ABC dropped the show in 68, NBC was going to pick it up. 4 weeks later, NBC said, after it was canceled, NBC said, we'll buy it from you, ABC. And ABC said, 2 weeks ago, we threw all the stuff in the dumpster. It no longer exists. Otherwise, we would have had more Batman.
Well,
there you go.
There you go.
First, greenhouse. Now, greenhouse in this instance is different than greenhouses we know today.
So the first greenhouse was known as a specularium and was a walled, roofless structure. And included flowers, so I guess the roofless part, flowers, vegetables, fruits to be cultivated. And then sometimes they would light a fire around the outdoor walls to maintain the heat. And then they made a roof so that it would be more light to enter the space, but also to contain the heat.
I think this was like in the 1300s or something like that. For that, but yeah, a very different type of structure than we are used to. Created 30 A.D. Tiberius wanted a cucumber. The doctor said you needed a cucumber every day, so that's where the historians date that back to that greenhouse. Did you know?
Now it's like an apple a day.
And nobody knows what it is.
Nobody knows.
It was kale one time, then saturated fat was another, then eggs were going to kill us all, and, you know, we've survived.
The eggs?
The eggs. Remember that, like, years ago?
That's like in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're at that point now. Remember back when we were?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, fish eyes.
Uh-huh.
They're always open because they have no eyelids, and so they don't need to blink. So I guess they don't blink. So water passes over their gills and they get oxygen for respiration, and that keeps them moving slowly as they're asleep, and then their heart rate goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they sleep without closing their eyes.
Correct.
That's freaky.
A group of cats is called a clowder. And how many cats do you need to make a clowder? Well, two cats are just a pair. Three or more are considered a clowder. CLOWDER.
Did you know that a pregnant cat is called a queen?
No, I didn't know that.
Now you know that.
A group of dogs is either a pack of dogs or a kennel of dogs. So that's where the term kennel comes from when you have, you know, a humane society type of thing, or a place where they are donating, you know, you can go pick a dog out, adoption center. Yeah. Elephant seals may spend 10 hours a day sleeping on the beach during... What? Yeah. May spend 10 hours a day on the beach during breeding season, they average about 2 hours of sleep per day when they are at sea. And a month-long voyaging trips. Here's the interesting part. They sleep for about 10 minutes at a time during deep 30-minute dives, often spiraling down to the bottom of the ocean asleep and sometimes laying motionless on the sea floor. The moon's surface, did you know? The moon's surface area is about 14.6 million square miles, or for our people who are not on standard, 38 million square kilometers, which is less than the total surface area that is the continent of Asia. Asia is 17.2 million square miles, or 44.5 million square kilometers. And about 59% of the moon is visible from Earth over the course of its orbit, and we never see the 41% of the moon, which is considered the dark side of the moon, because the moon does not rotate. It stays in a solid orbit, and we always only see the one side we see, because whenever, for those who think that we went to the moon, whenever they went on the back side, it was 3 minutes, I think it was 3 minutes of total darkness, and you lost communication with Houston. So, what else did we not know?
We left a bunch of stuff on the moon.
Yeah, there's. If you, you can go, and NASA's got hundreds of pages of PDFs of all the items, from defecation bags to boots to name it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. So then, yeah, so 59% is visible. One of the scientific reasons they launched from Cape Canaveral. So as the Earth rotates on its axis, it creates positive kinetic energy, and the closer they get to the equator, the greater the kinetic energy is, which means
the centrifugal force, basically.
Basically, it's easier to launch stuff.
Right. You put a kickball, and put a string around the center and spin it. That string is going to go a lot better than if you put it at one of the axes. Now, we can't launch from North or South Pole because there's no solid ground. Yes, other countries do launch from higher and lower longitudes, or is that latitudes, different parts, but it takes a lot more energy for them to get up in orbit. And the other addition to launching from Cape Canaveral is that if something goes wrong, they can dump it in the ocean, and it not being over residential areas, a lot less dangerous in that realm if they have to go that route. So let's do one more.
Just one more?
One more. We got one more.
We got one more?
Yeah. One more.
I got two more.
Okay. Do your two.
Okay. So one is that you're more creative in the shower.
Uh-huh.
Because the warm water increases the flow of dopamine and makes you more creative.
That's creative, not better singer.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you could be more creative singer. Write your own songs in the shower.
Uh-huh.
The other one is the oldest tree in Wisconsin is 1,800 years old.
Uh-huh.
And it's in the town of...
Living.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a red cedar. It's not massive. It's like it lives off the side of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they figured this out, and this tree is just kind of staying alive, barely. And it's off the side of this cliff, just south of Green Bay in the town of Greenleaf, which is in Brown County. Yeah. And that's where it is.
So with that being said, did you know? How many did you know? And how much can you transfer over to impress your friends? Walton's Incorporated. Coming back next year because you've supported them, because you've bought from them, and they support our show so we can broadcast it on all of our stations across the country.
We are brought to you today by Walton's. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables, but what about hopefully that wild game harness?
Or any
Walton's,
meat.
Yeah, or any meat. Walton's, you can get the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, any other meat product your way to your high standards. And don't forget, they have meatjustics.com, which is an informational site to help you find the best, make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more. That's at waltonsinc.com.
When we come back, who are Joey and Holly Baird outside of the gardening realm? We'll tell you a little bit about us. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now, 1-800-927-SHOW.
Grip6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have high-quality and durable products that last a lifetime. They're built beyond tough. Their wool socks come from Rocky Mountain-sourced materials, are soft and comfortable, keep your feet warm and dry, and come with a lifetime guarantee. Even for the most sensitive toes, these socks are made for everyone. High-quality wool socks make a huge difference for happy feet. They fit in with all the many things you do from around the house to the outdoors and beyond. They are comfortable and long-lasting. These socks are great for gardening because they keep your feet so comfortable no matter the conditions outside. It's hard to overstate how amazing these feel to have warm, dry feet as you work in your garden. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com. Use coupon code RADIO15 to save 15% off your order at grip6.com. Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907 with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at JungSeeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23. Wisconsin Greenhouse Company has custom-made greenhouses to suit your needs. Grow year-round, strongest greenhouses that will last a lifetime, from agricultural to lounging to entertaining. For more information, go to WisconsinGreenhouseCompany.com.
Get ready for winter with Chapin Home and Garden Products. Weed, feed, and seed your lawn with Chapin turf spreaders before the snow flies. Have a salt spreader ready to go for keeping walkways and driveways clear of ice. And make sure you have sprayers handy for cleaning, disinfecting, and watering indoor plants. Chapin products are available at major home improvement hardware retailers, online retailers, and at ChapinMFG.com.
Happy Leaf LED grow lights are USA made in small batches for outstanding performance and long run cost effectiveness. 5-year warranty and VIP customer service. Grow happy at HappyLeafLED.com. Use coupon code JOEYHOLLY to get 10% off any order over $90 at HappyLeafLED.com.
When a family of fruit flies accompanies the fresh fruits and vegetables from your garden, you need Rescue Fruit Fly Traps. Rescue Fruit Fly Traps use a food-grade lure that fruit flies can't resist, and thanks to their no-tip design, you won't have to worry about spills on your kitchen counters. Get rid of fruit flies fast with Rescue Fruit Fly Traps. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket Traps, learn more at rescue.com. That's R-E-S-C-U-E.com.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Dripworks, Rise Gardens, Grip6, Bloomin' Easy, Fleet Farm, Walton's Incorporated, Blue Ribbon Organics, Tree Diaper. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us for our last episode, last show of Season 7. Farm Defense, Holly.
Farm and Garden in the Ultimate Comfort. Farm and Garden in the Ultimate Comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmer's sleeves offer unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against the elements. Outdoors, an alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection factor 50 plus to protect you from allergens and scratches. You can find out more at farmersdefense.com.
So who are we? You've listened to us. Some of you have listened to us for years. Some of you have just found us recently. However you have done so, thank you very much. We appreciate that. We are on year after year. The show we'll talk about a little bit more in segment 4, but the show is self-funded. That meaning we don't have an agency that we say, hey, we need this much dollar value in order to get on these radio stations. We raise that ourselves through the sponsors you hear each and every week. So
We don't do this 24/7. Well, we sort of did do this 24/7 for a while until it got to the point where we knew we couldn't do it for 24/7 anymore.
We did this 24/7?
The gardening stuff.
Oh.
YouTube and garden talks and
and
the radio.
Well, it wasn't even 24/7. It was like, it was, I guess it was, aside from our full-time jobs.
Well, yeah, you still have a full-time job. This is my full-time job, acquiring the sponsors, doing the show, editing the show, all the stuff that goes along with that. People may not be aware that it takes a lot of time in order to produce a 1 hour weekly show. Now, for those people who have a radio show or think that they can produce or create a 1 hour radio show and it'd be great, it's not going to be great. You've got to put time into it. It's not going to be great. If you want people to regularly tune in, regularly download your podcast, you can't have junk. It's got to be, you know, if you want junk, turn on any TV station or whatever radio station show you want to, and you can find that. It's not hard to find that. There's a lot of that around. It's hard to find good quality programming, TV, video, or radio podcast. And that's what we strive for. We are only as good as our last show. So we did do this for quite some time.
It wasn't like, it was just, we kind of pared it back. We slowed things down in a way.
We prioritized.
Because we were, I don't know, I think we were burnt out. And I hate to say it, but the pandemic helped us slow down. And we're not giving three talks a week.
In our local area in southeast Wisconsin, we were, in 2019, we were doing between, I'm going to say it was early March to June, 30 to 40.
That one year we did like 40 talks.
48, yeah. I think we did 44 talks in two and a half, 3 months.
Yeah.
We were doing it, and there was times where Holly would work during the day, and we would do a talk Monday night, Tuesday night. I would go do a talk on Wednesday afternoon at a business, and then we would do a talk Wednesday night. We were doing four talks in 3 days. And it was...
I don't want to go back to that.
No,
and I think part of it is also, like, not that we have slowed down because we have different hobbies.
Well, let's talk about our hobbies. Yeah. People don't want to know about what we used to do or our sad story here, because everybody's got a sad story.
It's not a sad story, but I think that our interests, because
we're getting older.
We're getting older, and we don't have the energy to go do 40 talks in 3 months.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you are a belly dancer. You are a yoga. You have a yoga instructor certificate. What?
I'm not like a professional belly dancer.
No, you're not like on TV or anything, but you find enjoyment in that recreation, that hobby.
Yeah, it's a newer journey for me. I started, I think, in February of this year, and I do take weekly classes. And
it is what you see on TV, the little clink, clink, clings and the little bells around the waist. Yeah, that's what it is.
I think it's called a sash. But yeah, and the cling, cling, clings are called zills.
The little symbols on your fingers.
Yeah,
okay.
I have some. So yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. And it's not just the classes. It's the studio I go to is very...
The atmosphere.
The atmosphere, very welcoming, very like friendly. Everybody's welcome to join type of thing. And I think the next time I have an opportunity to perform, I'm going to.
Okay.
Depending on when it is.
Well, people who watch our videos or know anything about it, you're not a tiny girl, but that proves...
That doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with it.
Anybody can belly dance.
That's where I'm going with this. Yeah. That you don't have to meet a certain criteria in order to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to tightrope walk or something like that, you might want to scale down a little bit if you're on the bigger side, if you're going to go skimmy across a cable.
I'm good.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
I know.
There's you create the limitations for what you want to do.
Right.
You create that. And if people are, and the people who don't want you to do something are the people that want to do what you're doing.
They're the haters. That's hater mentality.
Okay, that's fine. You also do yoga.
Yeah.
And you have a certificate of yoga instruct instructing. You could instruct yoga if you chose to.
Yeah, it's a group fitness instructor yoga certificate, and I got that in I think 2021. And I haven't done much with it just because I didn't want another job.
Mm-hmm. And that you could have turned that into a part-time job that was made money.
Right. And I still could. I just have chosen not to because I wanted to.
You've got enough responsibility.
Right. And it was just something that I wanted to do for myself and get that accomplishment.
And we both work from home. Holly does a corporate job from home. And then I do the radio
show. I do a very corporate job.
Yeah, and then I work on the radio show that you see here and read about weekly.
And I'm a gym rat.
You go to the gym.
Yeah.
And then we also have a secondary YouTube channel. We have our main YouTube channel, which we started back in 2011. Anything you want to learn how to grow, it's on that channel. And every video, every radio show and segment of radio show since we began in 2017 is on the channel, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener YouTube. Our second channel is Time by the Tent, and that's where we have focused a lot of our extra time on, not the production value of the YouTube, but camping and recreation in the woods. We do document our weekly camping vlogs. We have purchased some property in the north woods of Wisconsin. We did that in the middle of the summer, and we have enjoyed that quite a lot. And that's kind of where...
Not the south woods.
No, there's no such thing as up down here in the south woods. Now, maybe there is. I don't know. We've never heard it. But the north woods of Minnesota, the north woods of Wisconsin, the upper UP, you know, it's always north.
There's even like north woods of like Maine and stuff.
Yeah, because the show, the north woods, whatever that Hunter DNR show is.
Yeah.
So we've spent a lot of time there. We got a tent property that we've constructed. You can follow that journey on Time by the Tent on YouTube. Very, very documentary type of videos in length that you can kind of follow.
It's called Peaceful Pines.
That's the name of the property that we've established. Yes. We put that name out and we created that name. And
you created
the name and got a sign. So camping.
I made the sign.
And
I craft.
You craft, yes.
Yeah.
And I hunt. Some of you may not find that to be ethical. That is something that I grew up with. Got away from it for, 18 years. We bought the property.
15 years.
Not 18. 2008, 2007, yeah. Something like that. Got back into it. Now I'm trying to relearn everything that I have forgotten. So that is a journey there, but it's a very unique piece of property. It's part of 1.5 million acres of a national forest in the north woods of Wisconsin. So quite a large chunk of land that we've got. We didn't buy 1.5 million. We've got a small snippet of that. So we do garden. We do have a garden. You can see that on the YouTube videos, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.
And we're not going to, you know, not garden or not do this, but the garden was becoming, I think, kind of overwhelming for us both.
Well, we've interviewed people on the camping channel for, you know, other campers and other camping, you know, permanent campsites. We started the YouTube channel, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, as a hobby. And then it morphed into an occupation, which turned into a radio program, which turned into a business. So then we started camping because Holly grew up camping. I grew up hunting and land, you know, hunting and camping and all that. We had to get back to that in order to get away from the hobby that became a job. So we created another hobby, which is the camping.
Right. And I still don't even... I remember years ago asking if you wanted to go camping and you had no interest. So I'm not sure where the shift came from.
Well, we had to get the business... We you know, you had to make the business work.
Is that what it was?
Well, you just can't start, you know, nine things. You got to get something off and going and building a...
So you want to get gardening first done and then you want to camp?
Well, the camping wasn't going to pay the bills.
Oh,
You gotta.
So kinda, you had like a 10-year plan?
Well, no, I didn't have a 10-year plan. Didn't know what that was. What's your 10-year plan? I'll get up tomorrow. If that happens, then we'll figure out what we're doing tomorrow.
Okay, whatever. Okay.
But that's a little bit about who we are. If you got questions, you can certainly email us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
But I think it's helpful for people to know that we are whole people outside of this. Yeah, it's not our only thing.
There are people in the gardening world that they eat, breathe, sleep, and roll in gardening 24/7. And I'm not going to name them, but I know several of them that's all they do, at least from what they put out, they publish what they do. It just seems like they don't have anything else, but that's all they do.
Right. And that's fine for them. But you and I have a plethora of interests and hobbies.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Phylum Bioproducts, Holly. The winter is near. The yard has been forgotten. Please don't forget your yard. Otherwise, you're going to have problems next year with Japanese beetles.
Yeah, just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards and those Japanese beetles either. They may be gone, but they're not far away. Not only did they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs in your turf so they can start again next year. You take a stand with Phylum's Grub Gone. Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT granule that specifically targets scarab pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granule with a spreader, irrigate into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is Grub Gone easy to use, but it's the only non-chemical choice that effectively controls the grubs. And the best part about it, it's non-toxic to bees and other pollinators. You can find all that information at grubgone.com or phylumbioproducts.com. Stay tuned. Heather Holmes will be with us. That's the educational part of the program today. Author will be with us. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Need a new mattress? Choose Furlow over the other leading brands and save big, really big. Because, hey, nobody ever slept better for paying thousands more for basically the same mattress. Plus, with Furlow Mattress, you also get our exclusive lifetime comfort guarantee. Good for as long as you own your mattress. Comfort to comfort, dollars to dollars. Compare Furlow to the others, and it's obvious. You get more bed for your buck. Wake up. Sleep better. Furlow.
Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardeners, farms, landscaping, and more. To find our products nearest you, visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com.
Goodbye biting bugs and plant invaders. No More Bugs by Naturally Green Products is your answer. A product pioneered by the USDA in 14 years in business, No More Bugs has been a favorite by consumers across the country. More than a repellent, it is safe for you, your plants, pets, and home. Visit nomorebugs.net. Free shipping on orders over $50. Use code FREESHIP4ME.
Rootmaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you the harvest you've never seen before. Visit rootmaker.com and use coupon code RADIO23 to save 15% off your order at rootmaker.com.
Garden like a pro in 3 easy steps and receive customized fertilizer recommendations for your garden or lawn. Soil Savvy helps you determine what nutrients your plants need to thrive. Never again overapply nutrients they don't need. A patented process that makes you a smart gardener. To get your soil test kit, go to mysoilsavvy.com.
Worried about watering too much or too little? Tree diaper technology is the best way to stabilize your soil moisture in your garden, trees, or houseplants. Use coupon code GARDEN15 to save 15% off at treediaper.com. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Aqua-Mart, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Pro Plugger, Deer Defeat, Dripping Springs Oyas, Phylum Bioproducts. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Moments away, Heather Holm will be with us. But first, Rise Gardens.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even over 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest the veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No greens on required knowledge. Gardening made easy with the Rise Gardens app. Step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest, a complete garden on a shelf, and comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information and get your Rise Gardens, visit risegardens.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Heather Holm is a pollinator conservationist and author of 4 books, Pollinators of Native Plants, Bees, Wasps, and the most recent book, Common Native Bees of the Eastern United States. Heather's expertise includes the interactions between native pollinators and native plants and the natural history of biology and native bees and predatory wasps. Welcome to the program, Heather.
Thanks, Holly. Great to be with you.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day, and not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. So I'll start with this. How did you get into being a pollinator conservationist?
Well, first, what I can tell you is it was by no means a straight path. I studied horticulture and natural resources management in college. And following graduation, my work largely focused on landscape design and management. So for many years after that, I worked in what I would call traditional horticulture. And then I began to learn about the benefits of native plants, and I shifted my work over time from traditional horticultural landscaping to landscaping with native plants. And that was really, I would say, when I had this epiphany. I began to notice really the significant difference in diversity of insects visiting these native landscapes compared to more traditional landscapes. And so year after year, I was really marveling at this amazing variety of different pollinators that were visiting specific plants. And I started to see these really distinct patterns year after year. The same bee would show up and visit the exact same plant year after year. And this is what I like to call when I literally fell down the insect rabbit hole and never came out. And so becoming more and more curious about these insects, I joined a postdoc and graduate student study group at the local university. I assisted with some pollinator research projects. And after that, that's when I started writing my first book, because I thought, this is just so fascinating. I want to tell other people about it and give them some inspiration on what to plant for pollinators.
Fantastic. So we all know native plants are great. Can you expand on the role that native plants have within a healthy ecosystem with pollinators? And yeah, the importance there.
Sure. I like to think of the native plant pollinator relationship really as the critical foundation of a diverse ecosystem. So the plants are providing food for various organisms, whether it's, caterpillars eating the foliage or other organisms consuming the fruit or the seed that the plants produce. And it's the pollinators that are really helping those plants with the pollination services. And obviously that results in the reproduction of plants when they are able to produce more seed. And then many people really aren't aware that over 80% of flowering plants rely on pollination by some kind of insect, where we live in the northern U.S., or less often a bat or a bird. And for bees specifically, you can essentially think of them as vegetarians. They source all of their nutrients from food, or nutrients or food from flowers. And it's the female bees that are out visiting these flowering plants. They have structures on their body to collect pollen. They're also collecting some nectar. And it's the pollen and nectar, those are basically the two primary ingredients within the food that they provide for their offspring. So bees are really completely dependent on flowering plants. And through their constant visitation, really, to collect these food resources, they're helping to move pollen around from one flowering plant to the next. And if it's from one plant to the next of the same species, that is really what's you know, resulting in pollination.
Well, and people may not be aware of what the native plants are in their area because they've kind of been extinguished or eliminated. How can one find the specific native plants for their particular area? What's the best source?
That's a great question, Joey. I would say first look for a state resource on or a comprehensive website that is sort of documenting all the different native plants in a given region. There are specific websites I know in Minnesota and Illinois called Minnesota or Illinois Wildflowers, and those are super resources for people living in those states. You can also go to the USDA plants database website, and it shows you county by county where a native plant may occur, so you can hone in on the specific area where you live. The other thing I just wanted to mention about that plant pollinator relationship and native bees specifically, anywhere between 20 and 45% of native bees are what we call pollen specialists. And so that means that female bee who's, you know, leaving her nest and going out to look for flowering plants, she is specializing on collecting pollen from a specific native plant. And that specialization can be very narrow. So a certain pollen specialist may only visit or, collect pollen from a single plant species. So that's a pretty intricate relationship. And then there are specialists that are a little more broad. So they may go out and search for different plant genera that belong to a single plant family. So, for example, here we are in autumn. There are several native bee species that specialize on collecting goldenrod and aster pollen. So they come out late summer, just before those goldenrods and asters bloom. And then that is their primary food source that they're seeking to feed their offspring. So I think that's a pretty cool relationship that has evolved over many, many millennia. So one reason to appreciate native plants.
So when you see these bees on these specific plants, that's all that all the bees are honed in just for that, let's say, goldenrod. That's all the bees have worked for their whole life. That's all they do.
If they're a specialist, right, of goldenrod, yes. Yeah, if goldenrod is not flowering near where they are or nesting, then they're out of luck, right?
Okay. And then do they go to they search out and find it, then they do they go back to the hive and go, "Okay, everybody, I need helpers," and then lead them to where all the pollen is, or how does that work?
Well, that's the amazing thing about native bees. Most of them are single moms. Okay. So they have these solitary nests, and they do all of the nest building and putting the food in the nest all by themselves. So they don't have any nest mates to communicate resources like would happen in a social hive such as a honeybee colony. So that's much more sophisticated with, you know, many bees living together. But about 90% of native bees have this solitary lifestyle, so solitary nests.
Very interesting. So your latest book is Common Native Bees of the Eastern United States. Tell us more about that book and why one may enjoy it when they pick up a copy.
Yeah, so my latest book is what I call a pocket guide. So it's designed for people, it's small and it's spiral bound. So it's designed for people to throw in their backpack and take with them if they're out on a hike or while they're out in nature. And the book features photos of some of the most common native bee species that they may find or observe while out on their hike. And it also provides a little bit of natural history information and at the family and genus level. So it's really designed to introduce people to bee diversity, and hopefully will start to cultivate some curiosity and wonder. That guide is, I would have to say, very, very different than my other three books, are more in-depth and focus on specific plant-pollinator relationships. They include insect and plant profiles, as well as some identification tips if you're trying to figure out in more detail what BU or wasp perhaps you may be seeing visiting a flowering plant in your garden.
Now, bees, we think of bees in a beehive, but bees live in the ground or in trees, right? And natively?
Yes. So most native bees have nests in the ground, and those, again, are usually solitary nests, not always. And then the small minority do nest above ground, and for the most part, they're looking for pre-existing cavities, and that can include a hole in wood, such as a standing dead tree or a log lying on the ground. We have some above ground cavity nesters that like to nest in plant stems, and then others will make their own nest. So what we call like a free form nest, they may form that with pebbles and some mud. And so they're sort of making their own housing structure for their nest.
Now, what are some ways anyone can help pollinators? I know some people will say, well, I don't have a garden. I don't even have land. I rent. What are some ways in which we can all contribute to the benefit of helping pollinators?
Well, even if you don't own property or you don't have your own garden, there are still a number of opportunities. You could consider volunteering with a local nonprofit or government, you know, for a project that is focusing on planting pollinator habitat, or you can volunteer to help restore a park in your neighborhood. You can also consider and look at your community as a whole and, you know, look at where is new pollinator habitat, where could it be incorporated? Sometimes local businesses are amenable to putting in container plantings, and even a small container, if it's planted thoughtfully, can support a few pollinators. The other place that people often overlook is places of worship, so churches, synagogues, etc. They often own extensive amounts of property. So, for example, in my community, many new pollinator planting projects have been initiated by the members of a specific place of worship. So the other thing to keep in mind is there's often grant funding to help fund, you know, this project. So be sure to check with your local watershed or city, county, or state. And that grant funding can help offset the cost of a pollinator planting project. And then I would say if you don't know where to start, contact your local native plant society, Wild Ones chapter, or similar nonprofit that's focusing on pollinator habitat within the community. So you don't need to own your own property to start to make a difference. And if you can't physically volunteer, you can also obviously volunteer for organizations by doing other things, administrative work, outreach work. So every little bit you do like that can help pollinators at a local level.
That's some really great information overall. We really appreciate having you on the program with all this great information. How can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, thanks for asking, Holly. I would just suggest that people can visit my author website, and it's really full of resources, handouts, plant lists. You'll get lost on there. And the URL is www.pollinatorsnativeplants.com.
And that's where you can get the book as well? The books?
Yes. Yep. You can learn about the four different books I've authored and figure out which one might be one that would work for you.
Well, Heather, we greatly appreciate the time and the information you've shared with Holly and myself and all of our listeners, and the knowledge that you've enlightened us in regards to pollinators.
Oh, thanks so much, Joey. It was great to speak with you both.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's your garden questions. It's no question and answer this time. We've got some thank yous to dish out. It's our last segment of our last show of season 7. You're tuned into the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Head into Fleet Farm, where you'll find everything you need. From tires to tree stands, drills to dog food, toys to tools, they've got it all. You can save even more at Fleet Farm when you join the Fleet Rewards loyalty program. You get exclusive offers, and it's free to sign up. Get everything you need at a low fleet price. Shop in store or online today at Fleet Farm. Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Tree Hugger sprinklers are the ultimate watering device for either your newly planted or established trees and shrubs. Our sprinklers open and close around the trunk of your tree and provide 360 degrees of watering. With our adjustable valve, you can direct the water to your tree's targeted saturation zone. They come in three sizes, 7, 11, and 15 inches. You can purchase a Tree Hugger sprinkler at your local garden center, feed store, or hardware store. Go to treehuggersprinklers.com to find a retailer close to you. Or you can buy it directly from Amazon or treehuggersprinklers.com. If you're an independent nursery, garden center, hardware store, or feed store, you will want to stock this product. Contact the good people at Tree Hugger Sprinklers and they will get you set up. Your tree's best friend, treehuggersprinklers.com.
Get ready for winter with Chapin Home and Garden Products. Weed, feed, and seed your lawn with Chapin turf spreaders before the snow flies. Have a salt spreader ready to go for keeping walkways and driveways clear of ice. And make sure you have sprayers handy for cleaning, disinfecting, and watering indoor plants. Chapin products are available at major home improvement hardware retailers, online retailers, and at ChapinMFG.com.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following. Happy Leaf LED, Root Maker, Jung Seeds, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Verlo Mattresses, Farmers Defense, Pomona Universal Pectin, Natural Green Products, Mantis Tillers. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. It's the final segment of our final show of Season 7, Holly. We've completed another series, another year of radio. You can always call in with your question 24/7, garden 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Email us at any time with your garden questions at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. This is some thank yous that we're going to offer up in our last segment here. So we appreciate you tuning in. Those who have made it all the way through, maybe this is your first show. You can catch all of our past shows and seasons at our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. And the seasons are listed numerically at the top of the page.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
I would just like to thank my two closest friends. They have kept me sane many times, and yeah, I don't, that's who I'd like to thank. Especially my, who I refer to as my Chicago bestie, and he has, especially helping us. This is a rant about finding the land, finding the property, but just. Joy and I never purchased anything like this before.
Right.
And there was times I was like, is this normal? Is this normal? And very helpful, very handy, whatever. And just, I like to thank my, I have really good coworkers and I have a really understandable boss. And not that any of this stresses me out, but having to go to a job that is stressful and having stressful coworkers usually makes your life kind of miserable. And so because I don't have stressful coworkers or a stressful job, I can really enjoy everything else that I do.
All right.
And I would like to thank Joey because he's my person over there. And
you couldn't run the soundboard by yourself.
No, but I think the cat can.
And text, yeah, cat.
And obviously, I would like to be grateful to the Lord because without him, we wouldn't have any of this.
Right. We want to thank our Savior, Jesus Christ. With him, all things are possible. And some of you may be going, well, I don't have him. I'm doing okay. Just think what you could do if you two were teaming up together. We started this 7 years ago. Actually, 8 years ago, we started this. And it failed miserably in 15, trying to go for 16. We both had physical outside the home jobs. Trying to fund a show, and we made 1% of the funding we needed.
And I almost left Joey because of that.
And then in 2016, I was released.
I shouldn't joke about that, but it was very stressful.
In early 2016, I was released from the position I had for a number of years, and I said, let's do it. Let's try one more time. If we are not meant to be, we will fail miserably again. And we have been very successful in allowing in our programming here. We started with 2 stations in Milwaukee, and now we are on 20 stations in part of 24 states. And from what I understand, that will continue in 2024 for season 8 as we continue to build funding for that. And we had 28 sponsors this year. You've heard them throughout the program, some locally, some nationally. Pro Plugger, Pomona Pectin, Deer Defeat, Root Maker, Blue Ribbon Organics, Jung Seed, DripWorks.com, Aqua-Mart, Walton's Incorporated, Nat Green Products, Blooming Easy Plants, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Tree Diaper, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Chapin International Products, Verlo Mattresses, Phylum Bioproducts, Farmers Defense, Rise Gardens, Fleet Farm, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Grip 6, Happy Leaf LED, Dripping Springs Oyas.com, Mantis Tillers, Rescue, and Live Earth Products. Some are returning. Others have chose to go a different route in their advertising journey. And we're always grateful for the companies that retain and return, but we understand why some do choose to stay for a while and leave. And some, as we're seeing for 2024, was a sponsor in years past and are returning back again to be part of the program. With all things, faith is a major contributor. And the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing here, do not worry about anything but pray continuously for everything, and always give thanks for the good and the bad, because we always don't understand why certain things happen. So this is a by faith program in which we've got to rely on faith because we can't do it ourselves. And it has worked out. We've been very blessed and thankful for that, and continue to have faith that we will continue to do this as long as the Lord wants us to. And when he says it's time's up, he'll have something else in store for us. And we shouldn't worry about what that might be until it's time that he reveals that to us. So we appreciate you tuning in. We thank you for listening to the program. Those who have just listened to the program, downloaded the program, we see the numbers. We see the views on YouTube. We hear those who have called in. We see the emails of those who are asked. Don't be afraid to email. I think a lot of people, Holly, are hesitant to reach out going, oh, well, this, I'm not going to ask this because this is a stupid question. First of all, if you don't know the answer and you're wanting to know the answer, that shows a level of intelligence that many people don't have, that are, you're willing to reach out to get the knowledge in which to better yourself or your garden. And that is perfectly welcomed on this program to email gardentalkradio@gmail.com or 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. It is welcome to do that. There's no silly or stupid question. You're trying to obtain knowledge in order to be a better gardener, and that is what we are here to do. And if we cannot give you the information that you're seeking, we will direct you in a source in which is reliable that will give you that information correctly.
One of my friends asked me, actually I think it was my friend's dad, was like, do you ever get sick of the gardening questions? And I was like, no, I never get sick of the gardening
questions.
We want
more of them.
We want more. And it could be the same question every week, and I would not get sick of it.
There are certain garden shows that only rely on garden questions, call it in, or email. Now, we don't have – we feel that our show is a content-based program. which entertains and educates instead of just waiting for people to call in or email questions. We give a topic and you interact and you learn about that topic over the segments. And we bring a guest in that we learn from each and every week. And then the time left in this last segment, we kind of wrap up any questions or loose ends that there are coming in to, you know, if one person asks a question, there's probably 5 or 10 or 15 other ones that had that same question that wanted to be asked, but they didn't contact us.
Yeah, definitely. So it's nice. So the questions are nice no matter what, even if it's like Joy said, maybe we don't know the answer, but we can help you get
Joe Lample said that was the best thing you could ever say is, I don't know.
Yes. And I agree.
And we can find the answer. It just, we may not know that second. And there are people, and there have been people, and I think a couple of them don't no longer does this, but they would create, if not, if they didn't know the answer, they would create an answer in order to make it look like they knew everything all the time and would make you feel good, even if the answer wasn't quite accurate.
And that's called ignorance. So the smartest people out there will say when they don't know the answer to something, but they will find it for you.
Right.
Yes.
So with that being said, we greatly appreciate you downloading the program, watching the program on our YouTube channel, The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, listening to us on your favorite radio station. And until next year, when we begin Season 8, if all goes well and the Lord's willing, we will see you next year. For
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird. Take care, and we'll see you next spring.